Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber, live at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Futures are steady after Monday's upside reversal and ahead of Powell's confirmation hearing today. Got two-year yields at a fresh post-COVID high, but some curve flattening, 10-year yield dipping closer to 1.75. Our roadmap begins with the tech turnaround, the Nasdaq breaking that four-day losing streak following yesterday's late rebound.
Plus, it has been 1 year since the start of the Reddit rebellion after Ryan Cohen, remember him, was named to GameStop's board of directors. We're going to discuss that.
And as we said, Fed Chair Powell back on the Hill testifying before Senate banking for his confirmation hearing. Of course, when the Q&A begins, we'll take that live. Start, though, with the market volatility and the Nasdaq 100 erasing almost a 3% drop yesterday. Jim, I know you were talking about what it means with Joe a moment ago.
Yeah, but look, we're so sensitive to rates that we have a little tick in the rates, and then people who have been banging out or trying to leave the Nasdaq suddenly turn around. And the turn was rather stark because it started, by the way, with Adobe, and I thought that was positive because Adobe was the one, David, that let us down, both when they first reported a quarter that people didn't like of the $250 billion stocks, right?
And then the UBS.
And then the downgrade last week. And so then you start thinking, well, maybe things are starting to get built in. You have a lot of companies. Like, there was a downgrade of Shopify today. I mean, some of these stocks have had just horrendous moves.
Horrendous. And Shopify, one of them.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're looking for something to buy, I would say, now, Dave, you may disagree with me, but you're not buying at the top.
No, maybe. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just wonder. I mean, yesterday was an interesting day in that sense. A lot of hedge funds got crushed in last week.
Yeah.
We're down anywhere from 2. I was hearing as much as 10% for some of these hedge funds. And I just wonder yesterday, Jim, whether in the morning and through the early part of the day, they weren't just getting out of risk, you know, selling, because when you're down 8-9%, you're really not looking for anything more. And then perhaps some of that selling abated and
we had a bit of a rebound. When you're down 10%, you got to make that phone call.
Right.
You got to say, hey, listen, you know, I kind of hurt you the first 5 days of the week. I mean, Carl, one of the things that was just consistent was it didn't matter whether your company is doing good or bad in the last hour and a half. It went up. And that's what makes me suspect, because initially we had, obviously, the consumer packaged goods stocks turn. That's very typical. And then we saw some of big cap, like Alphabet, turned. And then the next thing you know, everything's turning, including the ones that were not profitable, the ones that are Kathy Wood names were.
I forget what you said in your tweet yesterday afternoon. But
Oh my God.
You were saying that
next
names she was buying were death.
Yeah.
The sign, a buy signal from her is a death knell for the stock.
I thought that I pushed hard in a piece I did on Friday about how to correct Twitter. I thought they should buy Nextdoor, which is a really, really good company. And then it turns a KIND. And then it turns out that she's been buying it. And David, you know, that means, you know, I was thinking because of Sarah Friar, you get the twofer, get the good product. Mm-hmm. But then I saw that she's buying Nextdoor.
The ARK funds are advising the ETF to buy it. Yeah,
that's the end.
That's pretty harsh.
This is the end. It's kind of like, you know, the Doors.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm familiar with that song.
Yeah, my friend. Yeah. Blue Bus. She's the Blue Bus.
There is a lot of focus on her, perhaps for a good reason.
You mean like because everything she touches turns to
For a while, everything she touched turned to gold. I mean,
you know,
she years ago, she would sit at this desk and we would hear some of her projections on Tesla and go, you're crazy. And in fact, she wasn't.
She wasn't. No, and look, anything
nailed it.
Come back.
Now, as I pointed
anything.
Out many times,
DraftKings of 50
enormous amounts of capital flowed into those ETFs after that incredible performance, only to have that performance end. And in fact, those who went into those ETFs are unhappy about it over the last, let's call it, year or more. And as I've said, she's probably lost more money than was made, because that oftentimes happens with what follows after these great years, for whether it's hedge funds or...
And you tend to say long-term.
Yep.
But look,
but
she
says
can be creature of the tenure.
She says they're
the
retaining assets.
The tenure's 1.7.
Yeah, she says they're retaining assets. I keep thinking of names, and you and I went through it. You reminded me of one, because I kept saying, Jim, what was the name of that? Amerindo. But then I also remember Garrett Von Wagner. Remember him?
Garrett Von Wagner.
The Momo guys from the late 90s.
She's Amerindo. Like, you go to some opera house, it's named after Amerindo. You say, wow, that's substantial.
I don't want to say the sack. You know, I'd like to say, Carl, it's one of the few benefits to having been around for a while now, getting old, is having seen this stuff before.
You always hesitate. You always caveat it by saying, look, but she did find Tesla.
Yes.
But the fact is that I could not find a single reason why the stock of Nextdoor was down, other than the fact that she was buying it. And there are people,
now people just firing against her? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she'd be the first person. I don't run a hedge fund.
No, she doesn't. She advises the ETF. She's incredibly transparent.
But when you sell, I mean, remember, Flex, they have to reorient their ETF. I just wish she would buy periodically some companies that are not just on the way down.
Sure.
I mean, the DraftKings. The DraftKings. I mean, honestly. I mean, you know, if Tom Brady steps on the field, you get $500. I mean, you know, that's some of these. Right? If the Knicks get 1 point, you get one. I mean,
by the way, FanDuel's offering you $1,000 if you sign up and for your first bet.
And did you see you can withdraw some of FanDuel money?
They refund it, but you have to keep it on the platform.
Well, but not everything. You get some.
I was tempting. I looked at that.
I remember when I opened an account in Citi in 1978, I got a toaster.
Yeah.
Now they give you.
B of A cutting some overdraft fees, slashing overdraft fees this morning. We'll talk about deflation and financial services in a moment. Obviously, as Jim said, it's going to be a lot about Powell today and inflation and bonds and rates and things that Jamie Dimon addressed on our air yesterday. Take a listen to what the head of J.P. Morgan said.
When you look at the economy, the consumer, okay, now this is all respect to the fact that it's not true for all consumers. There's some still suffering and we're still kind of working through this, but the consumer balance sheet has never been in better shape.
All that said, he's got an above consensus inflation view.
Right.
He says at least four hikes, and sort of echoes Kalanovic and some of his own analysts who'd say at least the economy can handle it.
Right. I find that I don't want to leave the takeaway, which is that the balance sheet's so good. Remember, David, when we used to look at the heavily indebted consumer and say we're in trouble with the stock market. You know, obviously it's a shaky time. There's too much money being borrowed. We don't have that now. Now, when I look at China, where every day there's some new chain, a new construction company that is defaulting. And I look at us and our companies and our individuals, and I say, look, I think our country's on a much steadier path, given the fact that the consumers paid down so much debt. It's very positive.
Yeah.
But I do think, look, obviously we have inflation. I don't know if you noticed that a lot of the retailers have reported, and no matter what they say, it's been. Because Omicron.
Well, yesterday we had Lulu. They're just having trouble staffing stores, some of them. Apple, obviously, right now, if you want to go to an Apple store, you can't walk in, and a lot of them in New York, you got to order ahead of time and pick up.
Today, we got A&F, we got Urban, we got Shake Shack, Scott CVS. CVS, not too bad.
CVS was fabulous, that pre-announcement, but... I was with Laura Albert in November for Williams-Sonoma, a very good company, at 220, and now it's at 151. And they were they haven't pre-announced her, but CVS has got the benefit of the that may be the biggest COVID winner of all time, Carl. I mean, because unlike Peloton, I mean, you still got to get the shots. Peloton, by the way, is David, it's got that Zynga feel to it.
Is it too early to buy Peloton?
It's a Zynga situation.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like when we bring up our greatest hits.
It finally goes down to six. By the way, Moffitt Nathanson just teed off on take two.
We'll talk a bit about that later if you want.
Brutal.
I mean, a lot of positive analysts on the deal, but Moffitt Nathanson was not one of them.
Well, it's very interesting to see. I think people out at home have to realize that most research is pretty positive.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, wow, Strauss, what a coup.
It's the sell side.
Yeah,
we do.
What a coup.
Tends to be why we focus more often on the sells, because they're so rare and,
right,
and at least give you something interesting, whereas buy, buy, buy is the chorus of Wall Street.
Right. And I I'm reading the take two. I don't even know the guy. I know Moffitt Davidson. I know the firm.
Yeah, this guy Clay, I don't know.
I don't know the guy, but Clay, yeah. But I'm reading it, and it's like, well, wait a second. I know you want to talk about that, so I don't want to steal you, Hunter, but
it's okay.
Obviously it's kind of what he talked about is the change in the narrative. Now, I love the concept of the change in the narrative. I mean, I don't know when did it start that was the way people talk. Like, what was the point where people started talking about the narrative and the change in the narrative?
Somebody brought that into the lexicon.
I remember. I mean, I'm going to tell a sad one, okay?
He's going to tell a sad narrative?
When my father was 92, okay, and he had a great run, right? But I remember, like, he was faltering. And I said to the doctor, you told me he was fine. And the doctor said, there's a change in the narrative. And I turned to my sister and said, change in the narrative? Does that, like, mean that my dad's not fine? Well, now when you hear change in the narrative on Wall Street, it means run. Run.
Yeah. Facts do change.
Facts do change.
And points of view change.
Well, the change in the narrative in Peloton was pretty clarion call.
Yeah. Well, speaking of COVID-related disruptions, Facebook's parent Meta delaying return to office to March 28, adding that proof of a booster will be required. Interesting. Facebook has been, I think, quick to delay return to office, but going as far as to late March is interesting on a week, Jim, where we printed 1.3 million new cases yesterday.
I know. I mean, I don't want to be too defeatist about it, but I did listen to Dr. Gottlieb say that 60% of our country's going to get it. So, David, you can put people in the office. It's like what Frank Del Rio said from...
We're running at about that rate here on the desk, 66%.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm holding out. I don't know why
There will be some. There will be some who don't get it.
I guess.
It could be one.
I know other people like you who haven't had it. What's that like?
I don't know.
What's that like when you haven't had it?
I don't want to get it now just because of the inconvenience it will cause my family. Like, my daughter would probably not be able to go to school.
An inconvenience.
I'm not worried. I mean, I watched you guys. You were fine.
Well,
I'm
AMLO
not concerned
got it.
Having had three shots. The evidence would strongly suggest I'm not going to get overly sick.
Did you see AMLO got it a second time?
Yes, I did. The president of Mexico. But he's not overly sick. He's working.
No, he's working. Yeah. Great. Giving it to everybody. Like a famous tennis player. Let me go give it to the whole country.
We finally
that has
let
been
him,
a story.
Let him
but
in.
And also, I think, a microcosm of the emotion that's wrapped in all of this.
Yes.
Right, because he does have a lot of supporters.
But when I look at the retailers, I think, well, did you really want to go during that three-week period rather than be online? I mean, there was an upgrade to a number push for Amazon today. And that I get, because I was, before I got COVID, I was afraid of getting COVID. And I was doing, I wasn't going anywhere unless everyone had a PCR. And sure enough, well, the PCR doesn't last the full day. You can get tested in the interim. You get it.
I went through my house this weekend finding things to return to Amazon. It's amazing how many things we had that had never been opened. And I was like,
really?
This book. Oh, yeah, we have three of them, I noticed. The same book. Who knows?
I put...
they'll take it back.
I put rice cakes on auto renew. And my wife opens the door and says,
we wonder why FedEx is having numbers like they have. After the break, it has been 1 year since the Reddit rebellion. We're going to take a look back at names like GameStop. In the meantime, futures relatively muted ahead of Powell. A lot of calls today. Danaher, GE, IBM to sell, AMD, Intel. We'll get to all of it after a break.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Today marks 1 year since Chewy co-founder Ryan Cohen was named to GameStop's board, igniting the excitement in the Reddit crowd. 120 yesterday, Jim, was the lowest since March.
Look, I think that they're making the crypto move, and I think that a lot of people felt with this crypto come down, all they're doing is getting into something that is wrong. I actually want to look at it the other way, which is they're getting into something after it's come down, which I like. Not everything has to be momentum. I think that they may have they could have an interesting strategy involving NFTs, which people are trying to figure out what to do, but you could become, at a certain point, you could take over the malls. You could go from those little small format to being these gaming palaces, which I know have had great numbers, and pay people in crypto. And obviously, I think people very much want to bank with in some place that is crypto. If you did like a physical space where you knew that somebody took crypto, I think it would be a coup. And just because crypto's down right now, it doesn't mean you want to flee from someone who's adopting it. I think it's kind of was my plan.
But you believe we've exited the window in which an ice cream tweet can move shares?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're done with the fun part. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing fun about the market right now. And I think that...
Are we done with AMC, too? And your That's continued support for that
no,
stock
no, no, they
despite
got the, st-
the
they,
fundamentals?
No, they got to sell. They got to sell.
Yeah,
they did. Bob Saget went to the same high school as Adam Aaron. I think he was the class behind him.
That's a good way to change the subject.
No, Abington High is Philadelphia. Now, look, the reason I'm not switching the subject, he was able to sell a lot of stock.
He said he was able to sell a lot of stock. He did.
And now you're left.
Yeah, it's still with $11.7 billion market value still for AMC.
Well, that one I don't think is as good as GameStop because GameStop's balance sheet's fabulous.
Meanwhile, those hedge funds last year Melvin ended the year down. Yeah. I kind of have it in another pad. I think it was down 39, but I don't want to say. Maple Lane, D1, they all had brutal years in their public investing anyway. Those that invest in privates, as we pointed out so many times during the course of last year, of course, had incredibly strong years because the private market valuations were so strong. But one has to wonder right now, given what's been going on in the market, particularly for a very high multiple and or lack of profit tech,
right,
what that's going to do to some of the marks on those private investments that many of those hedge funds were bailed out by last year, despite their inability to invest effectively on the public equity side.
That's a good point. I mean, I look at what's happening even this morning. I mean, things were looking so good, and then interest rates ticked a little bit higher, and everything was erased. The stock market is the bond market. Let's not forget that. There's really nothing to it.
Any chance, though, Powell says something that everybody goes, whoop, wait a second, not as hawkish?
I don't know. I mean, look, we could run that Jamie Dimon clip forever, and there's Powell, Jamie Dimon. I mean, I think Powell's kind of, look, I think that we got a strong economy. We got a lot of people hired. It's just true. I mean, there's like nothing wrong with it. We have a lot of people hired. We got red hot markets everywhere.
Yep.
You know, flank steak was what, $8 last year this time, and now it's 16.
Wow.
That's a lot.
100%.
Well, Mester's on the tape right now saying that if the economy looks in March the way it does right now, she'd support moving rates up, and says the balance sheet runoff should be able to go faster than last time. So that's what the market's wrestling with at this time.
I struggle with saying anything negative about this market. I was speaking to a politician the other day, and he was saying, Jim, you like the economy too much. It's like, well, you know, full employment. You know, everybody wants a job and get
one. How dare you?
That's a definition. I don't know. To me, David,
like,
I mean, that's kind of a positive. I mean, you like the economy too much. I mean, what are you supposed to like? Houses are too hot in Butte. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, the economy's good.
Yep.
It's good. You don't need rates this low.
Well, we got Powell today and, of course, CPI tomorrow, which is going to be key as well. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. Take one more look here at futures as that bell's in less than 10 minutes. Don't go away.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older. Like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Little more than 7 minutes before we get started with the trading on this Tuesday here at the NYSE. Let's get to a mad dash. You mentioned Shopify briefly at the top of the show. You want to come back to it?
Sure. Well, you know, I sent up my bulletin. What I'm looking at each day is for members of the Investing Club. And there's a note today from Atlantic Equities. They do some controversial stuff. They downgraded buy to neutral, talking about the problems maybe with the fulfillment network, which we all liked because everything. We all know fulfillment's a problem for individual stores. So suddenly you merge with Shopify, they take care of the fulfillment. But David, when I point this out, because this is what you're really struggling against,
yes.
Right? You've got this.
Right. And then
and now
I got this.
You've got this. So
where's this ending, Jim?
Right, exactly. And now Shopify is not a company that's going to be making a lot of money, but it's got one of the great growth trajectories of all time. So what this kind of research is saying is that kind of valuation where you just go up, up, up as things get better and better and better is over. So where do you go now? And the answer, if you're this, is to say, wait a second, this thing traded 200. I mean, now they don't mention that in the thing, but the idea is that if you're in Shopify, we may look back, if we had like a 3 year on Shopify, we may look back and think, wow, we're being greedy even right here. So, yes, the fulfillment network may be taking a little longer. But the fact is, yeah. So, I mean, there, that's perfect, right? And you can say, wow, I mean, there's a lot that I could give back. So maybe if I owned it from here.
No, listen, this is still.
Right. And that's what's going on in the market is you're seeing people who say, this stock's up 600%. I don't care. I want to get out. I want to declare victory. I've ridden this thing all the way. It's time to go. Just because I missed it here, because it's very hard to catch the top, doesn't mean I'm late by catching it here. Now, I'm not going to disagree. If a company's not making a lot of money, that is a sound philosophy.
Okay. I've got an opening bell just a few minutes away for you. Don't go anywhere. A lot more Squawk on the Street right after this.
Shares of Abercrombie & Fitch rising in the pre-market despite the retailer cutting its quarterly sales outlook. For the Q4 net sales, they see flat to down 2 versus 2019. Prior was up 3-5. I mean, things are less promotional,
yes.
But they're being offset by higher freight costs.
It's very discouraging. As my friend Matt Boss at J.P. Morgan would say, think about it. We had Five Below say that the first week in January, it was much better than last year. Highest given release of stimulus checks, I mean, which is pretty amazing. Abercrombie said that January reaccelerated very, very nice. David, Lululemon did say that traffic picked up in January. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to decide that what matters is the last 4 weeks, or are we going to decide what matters is 2022?
Well, 2022 is what
there
matters.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you buy some of these.
Well, what about Williams-Sonoma? You mentioned it earlier.
I want to see them tell first. I mean, American Eagle Outfitters, which is one that my travel trust owns, it's been disappointing. They report a good number. For the second, they reported a projection that was terrific, and everybody hates it. They hate it. What is the time to hate it when it was at 36? What are they hating it now? What is that? It's a 3% yield. Get fired up.
Urban, meantime, comp holds at 14 versus pre-pandemic. I guess
that stock's
given
down.
Urban's history, we'll take it.
Yep. I know the stock's down. Look, I think people have gotten a little too negative about retail based on if 60% of the country is Omicron, then you're looking at everybody and thinking, hey, man, maybe that guy is your distributor. I mean, there's a place next door where they used to test. There was a big line. I don't know. It just closed. I mean, what happened? I mean, it reminds me very much of Captain Trips in the stand, where everybody, 99% of the people got it. Except for, didn't it? This ends better than the stand. but you don't read Stephen King? He doesn't read. You think he knows? He thinks Steve King is the guy who used to be the CEO of Dave & Buster's. He's a very famous writer.
I've read some Stephen King and enjoyed it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I read that 1963-22, that Kennedy.
Oh, 11,
yeah.
22.
Yeah, yeah, I read that.
It was
long,
very,
man.
Really
long.
That's your takeaway, it was long. Well, that's a terrific takeaway. Wow, there were many pages.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board, it's VanEck, celebrating the recent listing of the VanEck Inflation Allocation ETF at the NASDAQ Cartica Acquisition Corp, a recent IPO. Speaking of absenteeism, we've got a piece up on our website, CNBC.com, about United. Quoting Scott Kirby, in one day alone at Newark, nearly one-third of our workforce called out sick.
Yeah, I mean, people have to recognize that this thing is blowing through. And I look, when I listen to Gottlieb, now Gottlieb did change. He did say 2 to 3 weeks. You know, it's hard to measure this thing, but.
Although we seem to be on the, have peaked here in the New York area.
But then, you know, it probably has to happen everywhere in the country. And my friends who are not vaccinated, who've gotten sick, are, like, this is not meant to be political, are more sick than the people who are vaccinated. And I know that there are certain people who just think, here goes Kramer again on a rant. No. I mean, I said I wasn't going to do anything in 2022 other than report, you know, the facts here, which is that the people who are more sick are people who are not vaccinated. Now, United, though, was heavily vaccinated. But some people feel that the vaccine means you're not supposed to get it. No, no. That was a false changed narrative. What it was, as we discovered, is that you don't get as sick. I mean, I think if they could give you a dose of what we're getting in Omicron right now, the ones, it would end this thing. It would be like getting the flu shot, which always hurt me more than the Omicron.
United points out, prior to their mandate, their vaccine requirement, they had an employee dying once a week. Now, even though they have thousands with Omicron, none are even in the hospital. So it's hard. And the data seems pretty straightforward.
I think that, but then if you get bullish, David, if you get bullish based on that,
yes,
what happens is therefore you think that the 10-year is going to 2, and therefore the stock market has to go down. So, I mean, if you want, I mean, right now we're in a kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Omicron's really blowing through everybody. The demand's going to turn back, and the 10-year is going to make it so that you can't own stocks. Now, I think you and I both know that there are a lot of stocks that can go up when the 10-year goes to 180.
Yes.
And right?
We've watched a lot of them, namely those that have the word bank in their name.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like that guy, Sam Bankfein. What is that guy? I have more. Bankfein. I mean, he's got some great name.
Lloyd Bankfein.
Lloyd Bankfein. By the way, the crypto people, they have a terrific way of talking about things. When it's going up, they say it's going to go to the moon. When it's going down, they say you're getting an opportunity. Now, that is, I mean, I wish I could do that. Don't you wish you could do that?
Well, don't you?
Know what?
You do that.
I was going to say,
yeah,
it kind of sounds familiar.
No,
you
do no that. I'm just saying there aren't some times when it's maybe not good.
Until it is good.
I mean, someone told me the other day, Jim, how can you be so glum about Ether? I said, because it goes down a lot. Yeah, but come on. That's what it takes. Takes to do what? To do what? I mean, they never like get a, the crypto people, by the way, David, they tend to be believers.
They are fully believers. And by the way, don't dismiss how much money has been made among some people in the crypto world. Those who've launched, those who've been a part of some of these companies. We're not talking, you know, a million. We're talking right. Tens of millions of dollars in net worth that's been created.
But don't you think that Gary Gensler yesterday
is a result of the growth of this industry?
You don't think Gensler, like, I mean, I think that Gary Gensler, in the end, like, we have a chart right now of Dogecoin. I think that Gary Gensler, in some ways, would like people to recognize that not all cryptos are created equal, Carl. I mean, like, if we created a crypto right here, the three of us, we would have more, it would have more staying power.
I think we got to figure out something new. Like a year ago this time, we should have created a SPAC, maybe even a little while before a year ago. We could have created a crypto maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
So we got to figure out what we're going to say a year from now. What should we have created? Yeah. Something in the metaverse.
Your metaverse
maybe.
Avatar.
Yeah. Something in the metaverse.
You know, have you noticed that that died down entirely in the metaverse?
Well, Hollywood Reporter had a Chapek memo yesterday in which he talked about designing content for, he specifically mentioned metaverse.
Did he talk about my Bambi? where I went to him?
No,
he's went to him.
In case you're wondering, Jim wants the metaverse. You want to be able to go into Bambi and prevent Bambi's mom from being killed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who the hell? I mean, geez, why don't we do it? And by the way, can I just tell you, like Pinocchio, how scary is that fantasy island? I want that. I want that place to be less scary. It scares kids.
You know,
Walt was a little too.
You can't screw with those classics.
And right? I want to add another
dwarf. JPEG's talking about,
Davey.
You know, being in
Davey.
There with the nose tackle.
How about another dwarf?
And you're
no,
the nose
you know
tackle.
I want that. No, that's another one I want to play. I want to play. I don't want to play against Georgia because then I'll be killed. But I think that, David, having another dwarf that you get to name, come on. What? That's the metaverse.
I'll just keep naming stars. There's a lot of them, too.
I think
guys, all right, let's move on to some stocks here.
But the
metaverse.
I'm talking about Facebook.
Keep thinking about what we should be doing. Maybe we'll do it this
Nvidia.
Year. You won't see us at this desk a year from now because we'll all be just,
well,
you know,
you asked me to come
somewhere.
Up with a SPAC. I want to have a SPAC of all the different things I want to change. I want Kendall to get the Royco job.
Rivian tells the world in the filing that it produced 1,015 vehicles by the end of last year and delivered 920. Doesn't seem to be exciting. It's investor base.
Well, a chief operating officer seems to have left.
Yes.
Rivian.
Yes.
There's actually a lot of
that stock right down almost to to the IPO price.
Yeah. The Rivian
far.
COO. The story in the journal about Microsoft losing workers to Meta on the metaverse.
Right.
And then, of course, Intel stealing Micron's CFO.
Zinsser's been there. This is the CFO of Micron. He's been to my set a couple of times. That was a great thing. I mean, I have been somewhat critical of Pat Gelsinger.
Yes, you have.
But this was a triumph. This was a tour de force by Pat Gelsinger. I'm trying to get him on the show tonight. I'm probably failing. But wow, that was just that's a great hire. That guy is so good. He is so rigorous. And that's what Gelsinger needs to surround himself with, new people. And that guy was just a fabulous hire.
Meantime, Key cuts Intel to sector weight. Management's doing everything a bull would want, but we see limited catalysts. Meantime, this continued shift to specialized compute is not a trend that will benefit Intel.
Well, I mean, I think Intel's a long-term turn. I don't see anything short-term happening. The downgrade did talk about how you can't just throw up a foundry.
No, it takes
a while. Intel, when Jerry Park was building foundries, so you couldn't do them overnight.
Right. Right.
But you notice the market wants to turn?
It does?
It wants to.
When you say you notice, what are you noticing that would indicate the market wants to turn?
You got to watch Adobe, man.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of
watch Adobe.
Downgrades
watch Adobe.
And tech, we haven't mentioned UBS cutting IBM to sell.
No.
Target's 124.
That's
lower
brutal.
IT spend, they argue. Yeah. And then they basically argue that the spin made a lot of margin profiles look optically better than
but
they were.
Not really. Right. And I think that the Kyndryl versus the IBM may be a little more difficult. But IBM did give you the dividend. IBM trades like a small cap stock. I mean, this thing.
Well, pretty soon it will be.
Oh, come on. It's $115 billion.
Yes, it is. It's $115 billion.
You've never,
it's true.
You have never, ever bought into the idea that debt is all, you know, consumer, corporate finance debt.
No.
You have different views.
I think it deserves to be kept in focus. IBM.
This quarter's going to be bad, okay? There.
Well, how does that compare to the last quarter? It wasn't very good either,
no.
Was it?
No, but this is could be especially bad.
Okay. Now, let's take a look at Take-Two again.
You're holding it up here.
Well, it is up 2%. This after really what was a very poor debut in terms of the announcement of what was a large deal.
Yes, so.
Stock down, 14-15%
yesterday? Yeah,
you
didn't even get from New Haven to New York that
you
one.
Did
wow.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't hit Broadway at all. Yeah, you did have some shorting by risk arbs who were setting up. Remember, there's a significant stock component. There is a collar here, although it's trading below the collar. So the overall value of the deal is being affected until it gets back up, if it does, to 156. But you had some notes. You referenced one. Here's what Moffitt Nathanson had to say about that change in thesis. They call it such a departure for Take-Two, it's impossible to not be concerned about the health of the original thesis that an expanded pipeline of games, predominantly from its core competency in console titles, would lead to margin expansion. Perhaps that piece still intact, but perhaps it's not. It is now, though, part of a bigger and undeniably different story.
Free mobile.
Yeah,
free mobile. That was a lottery ticket for Strauss-Zelnick?
It's true.
true. Now he's talking about free mobile being.
I know. But at the same time, KeyBank note, and this is representative of largely what has been applause from many of the analysts. We tend to prefer mobile exposure among the traditional publishers. They're acquiring a mobile asset with a strong five-year track record. The entity should be able to deliver strong and stable growth that's more concentrated on recurring revenues than standalone. You talked about the episodic nature of their revenues. So they like it. So we'll see. Well, it is up today.
I think that Strauss Zelnick is a very, very smart guy. And this is something, Carl, I've been working on, which is that there are some CEOs that you have to trust, that they're going to do the right thing. I mean, I don't think Strauss Zelnick said, you know what, I'm just going to go do this deal. I don't really care. No, I mean, I think long and hard that he's got this problem with Wall Street and problem with his own entity, which is that it's very hard to produce hits. It's much more difficult to make a sequel to a Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead than it is to make a sequel with Marvel Tech, I like.
The movie, you mean.
Yes, yeah. And so, you know, I don't know how many Captain Americas there could be, but you can't just do a Grand Theft Auto every year. It's too hard, and what we're discovering is as the chips get better, as the games get better, there are flaws. And a flaw in a game is much more difficult than a flaw in a movie to change. So I think that there's recognition that as we get better and better, the games are harder to make. Why not?
Guys, I did want to get to a note this morning from Barclays as well, just because, again, on the note, sometimes we have to explain. We tend to focus on those that are negative because they are typically more of the outlier. Ross Sandler, the analyst over there, has less confidence that bellwether digital ad names can chase estimates higher in a note this morning. And I do notice Alphabet's down, although formerly known as Facebook is up. Consensus estimates call for Google and Facebook or Meta to grow revenue 17-21%. Buy-side expectations also around there. They think they may disappoint looking ahead based on the massive penetration gains digital ads have realized in the last 18 months. And they do point out that it's coming off a couple years of heavy pull forward in demand, and that while the first half of this year, you're going to have very good comps because of over 20, at least, we think second half 22 and 23 are where the disappointment could materialize, or I should say the tough comps.
You always get these Roku cuts for digital ads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then FUBO.
But that's not what they're talking about here.
I think that we all feel it at home. I mean, let's say there's the mayor of Kingstown, which is Paramount Plus. And you go and you say, all right, well, now I added Paramount Plus. And then my wife says to me something I thought was very indicative. She said, oh, my God, our cord cut is now bigger than our cable bill. I mean, we just keep adding and adding and adding.
That's why this report on Apple supposedly looking into MLB rights was interesting. People making big conclusions, but arguing in some cases that it might mark a turn for ESPN's dominance. We'll see.
Well, I when I saw that, I've always felt that when you get offline with people in that industry, they always say, what happens if Apple, do you think that Alphabet's really in it? Well, you know, Amazon's already there.
Amazon is there. They have unlimited pockets if they choose to actually
be involved unlimited capital.
In terms of competing with the likes of a Disney and ESPN. That said, they still want to return on that capital as well. Right. So, they have kind of dipped their toe. Apple's got a lot of money to spend on content if they choose to do so.
But they have
started, they have ramped it up.
But I would say that look, this is crunch time in the market because yesterday was an amazing comeback in the NASDAQ. So where are the buyers who felt that yesterday they missed their opportunity? Are they just going to say, you know what, I am not going to go in even though interest rates are barely changed? I'm watching for a level, like I said, with Adobe, where buyers just come right back. It has not happened yet other than for select ones and some Chinese stocks.
Yeah.
Chinese stocks.
Well, speaking of China, and maybe that's part of it, you got 20 million people in China in lockdown in three major cities. Goldman today cuts their GDP forecast for the year to 4.3 on COVID concerns. All that said, I mean, Las Vegas Sands was upped by JPM, and you got some of the Macau operators up today.
Yeah, someone on Twitter was saying that all I do is talk about the winners. I beat myself every day for this win. I don't know what turns win around other than the fact that the Chinese have to, one, beat COVID, get a better vaccine over there.
I do wonder how they beat it. We have a very different approach at this point. I mean, you have people in our country saying, just let everybody get it and let's get it over with.
Yes.
There, they really don't want anybody to get it. And locking down 20 million people, which still is a percentage of their overall population, is relatively small. It's still pretty draconian. And it's having an impact on their economy.
So
how long can they keep doing this?
What do you think will happen after the Olympics when it comes to just saying, you know what?
It's not going to be a very fun Olympics, I'll tell you that much.
No, it won't be a fun Olympics.
You're going to be confined to your room and to your event, and then what?
Yes, I mean, right?
But streamable on Peacock.
But streamable on Peacock. Sorry.
Yeah, Peacock, got to take that.
Maybe we should have cameras in the room with the athletes, too.
You got to watch this more. I mean, look. You have Intel. Okay, so they pick Zinsser from Micron. Yep. And Zinsser, when they pick him, stock goes to 58. Now it's like down. I mean, this market's getting a little glum on even the good things. David, the good things are sending things down. I think that yesterday was, I mean, unless you felt that whole rally was worthless. I mean, I wonder what Bob thinks. Because the only thing that's up on my screen right now is Pfizer and Adobe.
Let's check in with Bob Pisani as we got really only one Dow name materially up, and that is Dow. Bob, good morning.
Yeah, morning, guys. It's a mixed open. They sure do like energy stocks, and for very good reason. We're finally getting some mean reversion there in energy. So just take a look here. Energy, new highs, a number of big names in energy at new highs today. Banks had a great run in 2022 so far, first down day in a while. Industrials, tech still lagging a little bit, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I just want to show you some of these energy stocks at new highs. Chevron, it's really remarkable to see Chevron have this run that it's having because Chevron has gone nowhere. Energy's gone nowhere for 5 years. And we're finally getting some what we call mean reversion in some of these beaten up sectors like energy. It's about time. Mean reversion is a very powerful idea on Wall Street. It's the idea that prices eventually revert to their long-term averages. Energy has been an underperformer for a long time, but the stock market's had an amazing run since the Federal Reserve began pumping money into the economy back in 2009, remember, to combat the great financial crisis. And now they're reversing that. So we've had an extraordinary period. The S&P's been up 15% a year since 2009. That's remarkable. The historic average is about 10% a year. Is that significant? Oh, yeah. Everybody notices that. Mean reversion would suggest that now that the Fed's reversing this policy, we're going to be in for a period of suboptimal returns, meaning below 10% as an average somewhere. And this is very obvious in a lot of things already. You can see in 2021, for example, technology stocks were up big, up 34%. This year, they're down 5%. These are only short-term reversals. It's not clear whether it'll be a long-term one, but history would suggest it would be. REITs had a great year last year. They were one of the biggest performers, up 37%. They're down. Right now, real estate investment trusts are down 6 or 7% to start the new year. Growth versus value. We've talked about that for a long time. Growth, again, outperformed. Growth is mostly technology. Value is mostly energy, industrials, pharmaceuticals. Growth outperformed value in 2021. And this year, value is outperforming growth. That would make some sense in a mean reversion way. And finally, I'm just throwing out a number of things here. International. The U.S. stock market has outperformed the international markets, the major indices, for many, many years. And U.S. is the place to be. 2022, though, generally, the U.S. has been underperforming. International markets like Hong Kong and mainland China have been outperforming. Taiwan's been outperforming. The U.K. is positive. We're negative. So there is a little bit of mean reversion going on here. And I just think people should be aware of how powerful that is as a force, particularly with the Federal Reserve reversing policy right now. More on that, if you're interested, tradertalk.cnbc.com. I have a whole discussion on mean reversion. You guys were mentioning Cathie Woods. I want to point out something about Cathie Woods. It's down 1% today, her ARK fund again. And she is 47% off the highs. That was almost a year ago, back in February of last year. And some of her big names, Zoom, Roku, Block, you see these declines here from their 52-week highs. She's not even down as much as she would be because Tesla is not down nearly as much. That's her primary holding. But I do push back against people who think that she's been either wrong or a failure. She's not failed. She has convinced millions of people to suddenly invest in these disruptive technology stocks. The problem is everyone bought into her argument. They didn't reject her argument. They bought into it, drove the prices up. And now that we're getting a reevaluation of more speculative areas of the stock market, people are looking at this more carefully and, of course, being more careful. That's what should happen. But I don't think she's a failure. I think she actually, Carl, convinced people. And now the question is not whether she's right or wrong. It's what's the right price for the stuff that she's recommending. And that's what's going on, a reevaluation of her recommendations. Guys, back to you.
Yep. Sounds awfully familiar if you've lived long enough to watch some cycles, Bob. Thank you, Bob Pisani.
That's right.
We'll take a quick break here with Powell on the way. Take a look at the markets. You got the Dow down 270, S&P holding 4640. 2 year, close to 94 basis points, VIX above 20. And if the S&P falls today, that is the longest losing streak of the COVID era. We're back in a minute. Coming up in the next hour, we'll take you live to Capitol Hill for Jerome Powell's confirmation hearing. In the meantime, Dow down 228. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Time for Jimmy's Stock Trading.
Sometimes I like to see a stock that's recommended to decide whether the market's going to turn. Watch Domino's, a very powerful piece by Bank of America today, talking about scale, fast-growing segment, long unit growth, and, by the way, just incredible technology. So keep an eye on Domino's. If that one turns, then the market might turn.
All right. What's on tonight?
I've got BioMarin, which has some very successful numbers about hemophilia when out west at the J.P. Morgan conference. And Christian Peck, Zoetis, is companion animals, but also livestock. And it's been a fantastic stock and will continue to be so.
She's great. I want to try and get her on here.
Sure. No, we get Robert Peck.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. We get the husband.
What a team.
We'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.